It is going to be one of the jewels of the One Belt, One Road plan. A mega port in northern Myanmar, where Chinese oil and cargo will now be offloaded and sent to China on pipelines and roads.
Xiaoping is a special economic zone. It's the gate to the Indian Ocean, the only way is to the Indian Ocean for China.
But the Chinese mega project sits in Rakhine State, home of the Rohingya people, and site of the biggest humanitarian crisis in Asia.
I think generally the local population is worried that their government is not capable of managing Chinese investment for the benefit of the Myanmar people.
Chinese projects have brought investment, electricity, jobs. But it has also been met with protests and controversy.
Hi, I'm Anthony, and I've been covering stories on China's Silk Road for the past 4 years. But this particular episode is very personal for me. My parents are originally from Myanmar. They met and eventually had us four kids. And even though we were raised in Thailand, I've been coming back to this country for the past 3 decades. So I'm very excited to take you along with me on this journey to my homeland. My first stop, a place that is of utmost importance on the global Silk Road. A rural town that will soon undergo dramatic transformation. So there's black gold down there, huh?
It's
close, huh?
See?
Oh, yeah, I can definitely smell the oil.
Myanmar is one of the world's oldest oil producers, exporting its first barrel in 1853. Despite its early start, production has been negligible here. Now, profound change is about to come to Oil Mountain. Today, I'm going to meet U Tun Chi. He is taking me to his home in Madei Island, where he is the chairman of the Development Association.
Donji,
good morning.
Hi, good morning, good morning. Hi, I'm Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Nice to meet you.
His family has lived here for 3 generations. In 2011, thousands of Chinese workers descended on the sparsely populated island he lives on. And they have come for this.
What's that over there? This is China National Petroleum Corporation's oil and gas installation that cost $2.45 billion. From here, there is a 771 kilometer long underground oil and gas pipeline stretching to China. The gas pipeline started operations in 2013, and Chinese press reported that it can carry 12 billion cubic meters of gas to China annually.
The sister oil pipeline started in 2017 and can carry up to 440,000 barrels of crude oil per day. Oil Mountain's output of several barrels a day is a mere drop compared to the oil tsunami that is coming to Chaophyu's shores. China, a vast, mainly inland empire, has always looked for outlets to the sea for its landlocked western and southwestern provinces. The policy began as far back as the 18th century. Today, the Chaophyu Corridor gives China access to South and Southeast Asia, as well as the entire Indian Ocean region. This utmost strategically important sea access has now finally been realized for China here. Nearly 80% of China's oil imports, which comes from the Middle East and Africa, used to have to sail through the Straits of Malacca. Now, these twin crude and gas pipelines are key to China's two-ocean strategy to diversify energy supply away from the choke point of the Straits of Malacca. When fully operational, it is expected to supply 6% of China's annual needs. Many believe it will impact petrochemical businesses in Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. The completion of the project was celebrated in China. But here at Made Island, the project provoked a different reaction. The Myanmar Ministry of Energy was responsible for compensating the people affected by this mega project. But U Tun Chi says this has not been done.
How did the people in your village respond to the developments here?
ဇာတ်ကတော့ဒီလိုလုပ်ငန်းကြီးတွေလာလုပ်တယ်ဆိုတော့ကျွန်တော်ဒေသခံတွေအများကြီးဖွံ့ဖြိုးပြီးတော့ကျွန်တော်မျှော်လင့်ခဲ့တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဖြစ်လာတော့အဲ့လိုမဖြစ်ဘူးရဒီမှာကျွန်တော်တို့ဗတိကျောင်းမှာဒီလိုမြေသိမ်းရသိမ်းပြီးတော့လုပ်တယ်ကျွန်တော်ဒေသခံတွေကတရားကိုထိတ်တန်တဲ့နိုင်ငံတကာစာနှုန်းနဲ့ရောကြီးလိုချင်တယ်လိုချင်တော့အဲ့ဒီကြားထဲမှာကျွန်တော်တို့ဒေသခံတွေအကုန်လုံး ဲ့ဒါကကျွန်တော်တို့ရောဇီတပါတီရပြီးတော့ဒေသခံတွေအတွက်ဒီလူနေမှုအဆင့်တန်းကိုဖွင့်ပန်းဖြူမြင်းမြောင်လောက်တက်လို့ရှိရင်ကျွန်တော်တို့ဒေသခံတွေဒီကုမ္ပဏီကြောင့်ပြဿနာဖြစ်လာမှာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း This incident turned U Thun Chi into an activist. After Aung San Suu Kyi's party came to power in 2015, U Thun Chi was released. Now he is recognized as a local leader and is involved in regular meetings with the Chinese investors and also Myanmar government. Issues like land compensation, pollution, and development plans are still under discussion, though the oil and gas facility is fully built.
Are you hoping that things will be better once the compensation issue is resolved?
ကျွန်တော်တို့ကတော့ဒီပဒေကျွန်းပေါ်မှာဒီကျွန်းလမ်းပန်းဆက်သွယ်ရေးတို့ဒီလူနေမှုအဆင့်တန်းဒေသခံတွေရဲ့လောက်ကခွင့်လန်းတွေဒီလိုဖွံ့ဖြိုးတိုးတက်အောင်လုပ်ပေးရင်တော့ကျွန်တော်တို့တွေကအဲ့လိုမျှော်လင့်ထားတဲ့
It is not just about the energy supply chain. There are plans for a mammoth special economic zone and deep sea port here.The master developer is China's state-owned CITIC Group. Madei Island and the islands around it will be transformed from this to this. CITIC and its partners will spend an estimated $7 billion building 10 berths over the next 20 years. When completed, the expected annual capacity of the deep sea port will be 7.8 million tons of bulk cargo and 4.9 million TEU containers annually. In comparison, the world's busiest port in Shanghai handled an estimated 40 million TEU in 2017. The Chaophyu port will be connected to China and other major Myanmar cities by roads. China's CITIC Group says it will create 100,000 jobs in what is currently a small fishing town, a plan beyond belief for many locals. I'm traveling on China Silk Road in Jiaopu, Myanmar. And this fishing town is about to be transformed radically. A huge petrochemical facility has already been built, and now work will soon commence on a deep sea port and a special economic zone. I want to see for myself where the special economic zone will be located. So I hit the roads. Well, I'm finally here. I see a few huts, a lot of agricultural land, and it's hard to believe that a special economic zone is going to end up here. Minglaba. Hi, hi, hi. How are you guys doing?
Utun U's family lives in the area that is demarcated for the special economic zone. Though Chinese media reported that work will begin in 2016, the project has faced many delays.
Do you know anything about the special economic zone that's going to be here? So what are your hopes for this special economic zone when it finally materializes? These farmers may not have felt much impact, but China Silk Road has already brought major changes to another community here in Jiaopu. Jiaopu has a population of 45,000, and many of them rely on the sea for a living. The arrival of the oil tankers who need to pass through fishing ground has caused concern. So how have all these Chinese developments here, how have they affected you? But there are also those amongst them that are eagerly anticipating the future. It may be some time before the special economic zone and deep sea port takes shape in this fishing town. First, China and Myanmar disagree over the ownership structure. Chinese developer CITIC had initially asked for an 85% stake in the Jiaopu project. The Myanmar government wanted a bigger stake. Many in Myanmar cite the Japanese-led Delawa Special Economic Zone as an example, whereby Myanmar owns 51% while Japan owns 49%. There are also the geopolitical considerations. Jiaopu is almost directly opposite INS Varsha, where the Indian Navy will base its new fleet of nuclear submarines. Jiaopu will be the fourth and last Chinese-controlled port in the area. A Myanmar government official told Bloomberg News that military attachés from the US, India, and other ASEAN countries have expressed concern over militarization of the area. In the past, Chinese warships have docked in the Maldives, Pakistan, and also in Sri Lanka. Finally, there's the Rohingya crisis. Jiaopu is located in Rakhine State, the site of Asia's biggest humanitarian disaster in recent times.
Aung Shin is the editor of Myanmar Times, one of the most respected newspapers in the country. And he tells me investment inflows have come to a near stop due to the Rohingya crisis.
How do you think the Rohingya crisis will impact developments in Jiaopu?
I just has been to the Jiaopu. It's really huge, I mean, really potential. But so far, now they have done year four, the special economic zone, state discussing. How this the Rohingya crisis impact? Of course, the this country, the whole country right now, you know, every year, the whole day economy is impacted by the Rohingya crisis because the investors, they're listening and closely watching all the time, right? What is that really happening?
Though there hasn't been violence reported in Jiaopu, the sheer fact that it is located in Rakhine State complicates matters. Apart from the Chinese, it has been difficult to rally other investors.
There are many challenges here, but it is unlikely these problems will get in the way of China's mega plan. The new Silk Road strategy features six economic corridors connecting China to the world, and Myanmar plays a significant role in two out of these six corridors.
The first corridor starts from Kunming in southern China, passing through Myanmar and Bangladesh through to Kolkata in India. It features a combination of road, rail, water, and air linkages with a total estimated cost of $22 billion. The second corridor is the China-Indochina Peninsula Corridor. This features nine cross-national highways linking all of Indochina. It also envisions a railway that plans to connect China to countries across Southeast Asia down through to Singapore. This railway is still at various stages of negotiation with the different countries. These two major corridors join a network of four other corridors on China's Belt and Road Plan, connecting China to Europe, China to Iran and Turkey, China to Mongolia and Russia, and China to Pakistan. China has incredible political will to implement its Belt and Road Plan. So whatever the challenges are here in Jiaopu, it is unlikely to hold the mighty tide of change. Jiaopu will join a host of other Myanmar cities with strong Chinese influence. Amongst them, the old capital, Mandalay. This looks like a scene you will see in any city in China. But it is actually Mandalay, Myanmar's second largest city and former royal capital. There's the Chinese aerobics, fashion apparel stores, Huawei phone shops, and also a lively Chinese culinary scene. According to official figures, there are 400,000 ethnic Chinese in Mandalay province. They form almost half of the population of 1 million in this city. The Chinese imprint goes beyond the signboards and shops. Many of Mandalay's shopping centers, condominiums, and hotels are Chinese owned. Mandalay remains a hub for largely Chinese traded jade and gemstones, as well as smartphones, motorbikes, and other imported goods.
We had the opportunity to spend a few days in Mandalay, and there we saw the influence of Chinese community there, from the buildings, hotels, Chinese businesses. How important has Chinese investment been for the city of Mandalay?
Myanmar from isolated for many years, so no project at all. For most of the consume they use every day was the import of China. So if you are a businessman in Mandalay, you just do it, there's something import from the China easy way, and you sell in the Mandalay. In that way, the Chinese businessman, they get it help from the China. The other thing is there are many the Chinese people, they pawn into the, especially the Mandalay area, some years ago, 10 years ago. They bought a land. So if you look at the whole city, right, more than half area or the Mandalay city belong to the China, Chinese people right now.
Going along with that, I've also heard that if you want to do business in Mandalay, you pretty much need to have a Chinese connection or speak Chinese. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. That's true.
China and Myanmar have deep historical ties. The roots of it goes back to a violent period in Myanmar's history. Since the 1950s, Myanmar's various ethnic armed groups, like the Kachin, the Karen, the Shan, and the Hua, have been fighting the military junta. This has been the world's longest running civil war.
The junta ruled over a brutal military regime for half a century. They locked up Aung San Suu Kyi in her own home for 15 years, imprisoned activists, and waged war against many ethnic groups.
What was the relationship between the junta and China like between the 1980s and 90s?
Papua relation. Papua means brotherhood. So, like China's a big brother, not yours. So, whatever you need, your big brother will protect you, will help you. So, the Chinese, your big brother, the only friends, the only the investor. That's why most of the majority of the state, projects, all of them belong to the China.
Former British ambassador Vicky Bowman has lived in Myanmar for 12 years and eventually married a local artist. The Myanmar expert shares her view on this Paopaw relations.
Over the 90s, with the sort of gradual scaling back of any form of Western investment because of a combination of the politics and sanctions, to some extent, China became the only choice that Myanmar had then as a partner. During that period, and I was here then as ambassador, the Chinese were, I think, not sort of just standing by, they were also actually trying to engage Myanmar and show it on a path to reform. China at the time, we're talking here, 2000s, was taking members of the military regime off to Shenzhen, but also Yunnan, to Kunming, to show them pathways to economic development. So they were certainly looking at this place as an extremely strategic option.
A democratic transition started in Myanmar in 2012. The world celebrated the fact that Myanmar was finally open for business. But the truth is that Chinese companies have been here since the 1980s, 3 decades before Aung San Suu Kyi was released from house arrest.
Today, I'm going to meet Zhao Win, one of the most prominent Chinese Burmese businessmen in the country.
Zhao Win is the man behind Mingala Mandalay. It's the city's biggest commercial development and includes shopping malls, villas, condominiums, shop houses, office towers, and what will be the city's most upmarket 5-star hotel. Mingala Mandalay and 2 other major projects done by Zhao Win's company will shape the new downtown of Mandalay. It's a massive undertaking that has already proven successful.
There are many successful Burmese Chinese businessmen like yourself. What do you think are the factors that drive this success?
Building the new downtown of Myanmar's second biggest city is a mammoth project. But the tycoon's ambitions extend further up north. Along the border of China is the city of Muse on the Myanmar side.
Myanmar, China. Two ancient countries are separated by Xuali River. The site is located in the northwest side of Muse City, a beautiful, untouched land, becoming an important business window for Myanmar and China business.
Zhao Win has planned an entire town here. He has built roads, power lines, water facilities, and he's in the process of building the shops, office towers, housing, villas, hotels. Basically everything that a government town planner would usually do, except that this is a private enterprise endeavor. Muse, currently a sparsely populated town, is the starting point
of China Silk Road in Myanmar.
I'd like to ask you about the Musée project, because that's a huge show of confidence in the One Belt, One Road plan.
General Musée project infrastructure 100% 비타래 General One Belt, One Road
文化网络为难免收入新移，全都被个阿龙阿新的批罢了。第一文化网络奥秘目，也是不断用于目视罢了。把将来说到，只有两个，两个老人家以江苏人民社区人民表开来批罢了。但全都两个，第文化网络文化的起码嘞，全都两个也提提江苏人民批开罢了。赵云 firmly believes China Silk Road will bring more investments in these much needed areas and contribute to development in Myanmar. As the Belt and Road progresses, Chinese businessmen and state-owned enterprises are building dams, hotels, bridges, and shopping complexes. They are trading in everything from fruits to timber to metals. But of all these, none is more monumental than the jade trade. Jade is huge business. But the jade trade has been linked to wars, environmental destruction, and a drug pandemic. It is 5 a.m., but business is already in full swing at the Mandalay Jade Market. Chinese traders are here looking for the prized heavenly stone, jade. The jade trade between Myanmar and China is worth an estimated 30 billion US dollars a year. That is about half of Myanmar's GDP. This business with China affects thousands of lives in Myanmar and shapes public perception that ordinary Burmese people have of China.
You see all these merchants shining their torches on the stone? It's how you check for the transparency and clarity of the best stones. The more transparent it is, the more expensive it is. Let's take a look at this one right here. And so they're shining the light and checking the quality of the stone, and that is why it's so important to come here to the market before the sun goes up.
5,000 to 8,000 people come here every morning to do business. Some Chinese buyers browse the stalls. Hundreds of other Chinese buyers sit around while Myanmar sellers present their stones. This simple-looking market here is one of the most valuable gem trading hubs in the world.
Wu
Tan Win is the president of the Burmese Jade Traders Association.
What about this piece here? How much would this cost?
1 lakh Myanmar cash.
Oh, 1 lakh.
1 lakh.
So about 80 US dollars.
80 US dollars.
That's not too bad. Mm. Okay. Let's see what else we can find. Oh. What about this guy? Oh, it's pretty heavy. How much is this worth?
200 lakh. Myanmar cash.
20,000 US dollars?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. I better be very careful then. Putting that down, I don't want to break it. Wow. So then all the transactions that are done here, all of them are done in cash, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That means there are thousands, thousands of dollars being circulated all around in the market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, let's check out the rest of the market.
Yeah.
Yeah?
90% of the world's jade resources come from Myanmar. According to a report by London-based Global Witness, what's mined in Myanmar is worth more than 30 billion US dollars a year. A transformative amount of money if it were properly spent.
So we're talking about a lot of money in the jade trade. How are the people of Myanmar benefiting from this?
ကျောင်းသားဝင်ကြောက်စင်းကိုဗမာတပြည်ကပဲထွက်တယ်။အဲဗမာပြည်ကပဲကြောက်စင်းတရားနာထွက်တဲ့အခါကျတော့ဒီဗမာတပြည်လုံးမရှိတဲ့ဒီကြောက်သမားလေးတွေလောက်ကင်စားသောလို့အဆင်ပြေတယ်။ဒီကြောက်စင်းကကြောက်စင်းလောက်ကင်စားသောတဲ့ကြောက်သမားအားလုံးပေါ့။အဲ့ဒါကြောက်သူတဲ့ကြောက်ဖြတ်တဲ့အချိန်ကကြောက်သမားအနေစပြီးတော့ကြောက်တူးတဲ့လူအထိ
But there is a dark side to the jade trade. Myanmar journalist Nin Yadanaza has been following this story for over 5 years, and she has seen some horrific things.
You've been to the jade mine several times. Can you tell me what you saw there?
In Pagan, the jade mines, there was no tree, or like it was really dusty. After several decades of Chinese business and the jade business came in, it became the place where it's really dry and the environment is really in bad situation.
What about the workers there?
There are two types of workers. One of them, one is the company workers who work full-time, and the other types is the hand pickers. Most of the hand pickers don't have regular contact with their family members who are left in home. So when they die in landslides, the family members, they don't even know that they already die in the landslide.
Landslides take place at the jade mines every few months.
When the government tried to dig out the bodies from the site, which collapsed because of the machine, it is really hard to know who is who because the machines rip apart the bodies, and also like the bodies are already decomposed.
That sounds absolutely horrific.
Drug addiction among poor miners is also a major problem. Miners take heroin to ease muscle pain, and many get addicted. The problems in the jade mines are well known in Myanmar.
There are many problems associated with the jade trade. Land grabs, slave labor, drug addiction. Do you think that the Chinese should take more responsibility for these issues?
Of course they should, because they are the only two buyers, right? The jade mining mostly done by the Chinese company. All these ones, none of them never have any knowledge about the responsible business or CSR or whatever. For many decades, they didn't care. They don't know it because nobody tell us.
So the Chinese government over the last 10 years or so has come out with a number of guidelines around environmentally and socially responsible investment, sort of going out guidelines and so on. My observation from here is that they seem to be somewhat stuck in Beijing. They are not even filtering down to some of the Chinese SOEs who are here, let alone small private sector Chinese companies who are involved in the jade trade.
For a business that is worth $30 billion US a year, the jade trade has the potential to bring transformational benefits to Myanmar. But in its current form, it is a blood-stained business. As the Silk Road progresses, there are more calls for socially responsible investment. The Myanmar government is now looking at more regulations around the jade trade, and many locals hope the Chinese government will also step in to punish errant Chinese companies. China is keenly aware that the perception of the new Silk Road goes beyond mere infrastructure projects and special economic zones. And that's why there's been a charm offensive happening in Myanmar. Today, I'm headed to the China-Myanmar Friendship Association. And here to show me around is the vice chairman. There are several China-Myanmar Friendship Associations in the country, and this one in Mandalay is the largest. A museum was opened here in 2017 to educate the public on China-Myanmar ties.
我们中缅就互相称是包坡，包坡这个词呢，就是从我们缅甸这个故事里面来的，说是我们龙宫主跟太阳神他们生了三个龙蛋，一个龙蛋变成中国的女王，一个变成缅甸的皇帝，一个是我们缅甸的珠宝，所以我们缅甸跟中国是兄弟，同一个母亲生的兄弟，所以叫做包坡。
So it's a Burmese legend that goes back several hundred years.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
谢谢。 中国跟缅甸啊有共同的这个命运，你看，19世纪的时候有鸦片战争，中国就变成半殖民地，然后19世纪的时候有个英缅战争，缅甸就变成了殖民地了，所以中缅共同的命运。今天啊，我们中缅关系也非常的紧密，你看，这是去年2017年。 我们缅甸的国务资政昂山素季两次访问中国，我们的总统也访问了中国。
So this is an example of the relationship at a government to government level.
Yes.
So I guess what you guys are doing is more at the grassroots level.
是啊，我们是民间关系嘛。
哎，那白马罗，陈如，你只有把大家改变把一对这个道理，朋友教你，顾问教你嘛，把大家定下来，来比如，定价不差别的，那你那白马罗，陈如。Vocational training school, you call it.
I've seen impressive infrastructure projects along China's Silk Road, but what really stands out for me is seeing how much effort China has put into promoting goodwill all over the world.
Soft power complements hard infrastructure on the new Silk Road. And here is a spectacular example of China's infrastructure spending in Myanmar.I am traveling on China's new Silk Road, and I'm in Myanmar. It is a key site for large-scale Chinese projects, including the dams, ports, roads, and bridges that are the concrete and steel manifestation of the One Belt, One Road plan. Completed in 2007,The Yadanaban Bridge connects North and South Myanmar. The company responsible was CAMC Engineering, a Chinese state-owned company. Before it was built, big trucks needed to cross using a river barge. The old bridge, built by the British, wasn't strong enough to support the weight of these vehicles.
Just looking at the landscape here, it tells the story.Over there, you see the pass. Built by the British during its colonial glory days in the 1930s, it is now a dated piece of infrastructure. And over here, the future. The modern technological marvel provided by China and its Silk Road. This is a massive bridge, and I'm sure there were challenges while building it. Can you share a little bit about that?
This bridge, 一共用的钢材有9600吨，全部加工制作来自中国。
So if you had to import all the steel from China, that must have been difficult given the road conditions at the time.
是的，这运输对于我们来说确实比较困难。我们是选择了海运，到仰光港之后呢，我们又转到内陆河，通过伊洛瓦底江用船运过来。其他的困难的话，在海外建桥，我们用了一个非常特殊的施工方法，就是用爬行吊机。爬行吊机呢，在施工的过程中，它是在桥梁的上旋。进行移动，这个爬行吊机的施工方法呢，是我们建桥者在国外第一次用。
What are your thoughts on the new Silk Road, and what has been your experience living in Myanmar for the past 8 years?
自从咱们中国提出了这个“一带一路”的政策之后呢，中国政府包括中国的国企、私有企业，对缅甸的发展还是提供了很大的帮助的。像我们公司做的一些基础设施的项目，还有一些轻工业的项目、重工业的项目。
So this is one of the villages that's close by to the bridge, huh?
Yeah. It's very near to the bridge and also Wu Min Shui. Villager will introduce how the benefit.
Because you being here during the construction, I'm sure you got to know a lot of the locals around here.
Yeah. Previously, sometimes we go to have the dinner or lunch. Yeah, so right now I will introduce Wu Min Shui.
Minglaba.
Minglaba,
come here. Nice to meet you.
Minglaba, yeah.
Wu Mianshui's old home was demolished to make way for the construction of the bridge.
What are your thoughts on the bridge?
Okay. 저는이야우리미국에서살까마이몸시설을이용수리저는미리를빌리띠리를빌리나루고와쉬병세를빌리보우리내내로녹화피다가아루높이안가오마리미리아루빌리다래그래서저는후배가미야바탕마루와로드꿔구나땡로시다보나빠인땡동으로리피도와
As land prices soared after the completion of the bridge, Wu Mianshui cashed in and sold his land. The money was invested in a textile factory, which he now runs out of his new home. He is full of praise for China's Silk Road and how it has improved his life. the Yandanabon Bridge was one mega Chinese project. Here is another, Yehua Dam. It is one of the largest dams in the country, and it provides electricity for the city of Mandalay. Dams are controversial in Myanmar, but not this one here at Yehua. Environmentalist Mao Mao U explains how Yehua not only generates electricity, but also prevents flooding and natural disasters. Yehua is just one of dozens of major dam projects that China is involved in ASEAN. In Myanmar, China has planned 8 major dams. In Cambodia, it is building 3. In Laos, it is building 7. In Vietnam, 1. And in Malaysia, 2. These do not include the dozens of other minor dams they're building. Of all these dams, one of the largest is the Myitsone Dam located in Kachin State. Chinese officials said that it will bring renewable energy to Myanmar, but it has faced strong opposition. The ferocity of reaction against the dam surprised even the Chinese. In 2010, a series of bombs struck the dam's construction site, killing and injuring Chinese workers. Fresh rounds of fights also broke out between rebel Kachin separatists and the Myanmar army over the dam.
If we can look at the Myitsone Dam in particular, what are the issues surrounding it?
If we think about where Myitsone is being proposed, it's where the Ayawade actually forms. Ayawade, which is the most important river in Myanmar, and is providing livelihoods to millions of people. Putting the dam right there will obviously have a lot of impacts for people living downstream, but also for the ecological functioning of the river, for fish migration, for ensuring that there is sufficient water downstream during the dry season.
A People's Daily report in early 2014 said China had invested at least 700 million yuan in the project by the time it was halted. China's ambassador to Myanmar visited the dam site in 2016 and proposed several solutions to the deadlocked project. One, cancel the dam and pay $800 million in compensation. Resume work and earn $500 million a year when it is completed. Or do nothing and pay $50 million in interest every year.
The decision is a daunting task for Myanmar's leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, who risks angering China if she cancels the project, or the public if she lets it go forward. As of 2018, the Myitsone Dam still remains in limbo.
The Myitsone Dam may have been halted, but more than a dozen other Chinese dams in Indochina threaten the mighty Mekong River and its tributaries. It has already become a political issue in Indochina. 60 million people depend on the Mekong for their food and livelihood. Their ways of lives have evolved over generations, in tandem with the annual monsoon rains and the rise and fall of the water. I just hope it won't be all swept away in the great flood of progress.
Of course, there are no real easy answers here. I'm a big fan of green energy, but if it's at the expense of 60 million lives, then we've really got to stop and think about that.
Dams, new towns, roads, bridges, mines, and museums. China's Belt and Road is one big belt and an enormous road, one that will encircle and possibly entwine Myanmar. The Chinese government has firm ideas about how Myanmar fits into its bold global master plan and its two economic corridors.
The question is, how Myanmar will respond.
What are your thoughts on China Silk Road?
ကျွန်တော်တို့ကတော့ဒီနိုင်ငံခြားရင်းနှီးမြှုပ်နှံမှုဒေသတစ်ခုဖွံ့ဖြိုးအတွက်ကြိုးစားပါတယ်။နိုင်ငံခြားရင်းနှီးမြှုပ်နှံမှုအပိုင်းမှာလည်းကျွန်တော်တို့ဒီမှာဟိုစီမံခန့်ခွဲမှုဘက်မှာတော့ကျွန်တော်တို့ဒီအစိုးရပြည်ပြည်ဒီဘက်ကအဖွဲ့အစည်းကပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်ပေါ့နော်။အဲ့ဒီအဖွဲ့အစည်းဘက်ဟိုအဓိကဥစ္စာပေးတဲ့ဆုံးဖြတ်ချက်ဘက်ကိုတို့ကလုပ်ပြီးတော့ဒေသဖွံ့
door with a desire by them to invest is fundamental and existential for Myanmar. I mean, it's the most important relationship that Myanmar has and always will be. It's a bit like Mexico's relationship with the US. Nobody's going to step in and change that.
One thing very clear is Myanmar needs more investment. You have no capital investment, so you need someone who has capital investment. You have no technical know-how, so you need someone who has it, right? So that's the two. But it's not an easy case because this country is really complicated and complex situation. You have to speed it at the same time, but you need to keep food at the same time. It's not easy at all.
Chinese business already have bad image in Myanmar, such as the postponed hydropower projects in Gachin State, Myesong, and also in Pagan, the jade mines. Because of the previous incidents, Myanmar people think that they don't work transparently. I think the government has to work on that terms with the Chinese government and the companies for Wamba World projects for them to be more transparent and sustainable and responsible business in the country.
I love this country. It's where my family comes from and where my history lies. I love its rivers and quaint towns and warm people and rich culture. Progress is coming and it's a good thing. But there are fears it will sweep away so many of the things that ordinary Myanmar people treasure. The balancing act of maintaining investment flows from China and protecting local interests is not going to be easy. There is public fear of losing control over Myanmar's economic future. But we have to work towards a win-win situation and accept China's Silk Road. But in our own way, on our own terms, and in our own time.